It's Monday, April 11th, 2016, and you're tuned in to the TNIAB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. If we didn't talk about it here, it means it wasn't cool.
I still really like that.
This week is a pretty chill week, but that's okay, because we're going to do two things. We're going to do picks and weeks. That's one thing.
Or we're combining that into one.
That's one thing.
It's the regular podcast thing.
We're going to do the regular podcast. It's going to be a little condensed because we have not that much stuff to talk about. And then in the back half of this, we're going to continue on with our possible anime club picks for the spring season, because we sat down and watched a lot
more.
We watched a lot of anime today. And we'll fill you in on that.
All great.
There were some questionable moments. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Are you my bread buddy?
look at you foreshadowing. Save it. Save it. As I eat my banana bread. But yeah, let's start off with our picks. And because I'm eating my banana bread, you can go first, Anthony.
My picks are just some quick little things that I saw over on NeoGAF.
On the GAF.
On the GAF. So you remember a while ago when, I think it was also Ford, that came out with the Dragon Ball Z overdubs to sell their cars?
It was Ford.
Yeah. So they came out with new overdubs, but this time for Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
And they're just two really short commercials that are ridiculous.
Mm.
One involves a codec call between Snake and Colonel talking about, was it like the Ford Focus?
The Ford Focus ST.
ST. And then the other one is Psycho Mantis reading Snake's mind about how he wants another Ford.
A Ford Fusion.
A Ford Fusion. just type in Metal Gear Solid X Honda, I guess.
Ford.
No, Ford, sorry.
What the fuck? You just...
I just said it. I had a memory lapse. My bad. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid X Ford. And they'll show up. They're official Ford commercials.
They are.
And they're on their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Konami just doesn't care.
I have to say, as much as it was nice hearing David Hayter back in the role as Snake, I really enjoyed the Psycho Mantis one more.
That one's really
where it was just Psycho Mantis, and he was like, "I know what you want,
yeah, Snake,
huh? Powered by Sony with their 12 speakers."
It was really good, and then it just goes into the boss fight from that.
Yeah, but no, Ford's being really smart about this. I mean, they understand that the people who liked Metal Gear Solid 1 and Dragon Ball, they're grown up, they got careers, and they've got money to burn.
Or at least Ford's marketing department has been given free reign to do whatever they want.
I'm gonna go with those kids grew up and they have money, and the people making these ads are also part of that generation.
Okay,
so to a certain extent, they have that connection. And yeah, who wouldn't you want to buy a car if it was attached to Metal
No,
Gear?
Wouldn't I want to Fulton extract a Ford Focus
that's
SE?
That's right. But Snake, that hasn't been used since 1984.
Well, and yeah, they were just really funny commercials.
They were. They were good commercials.
A little quick thing in this light news week.
Yeah, there wasn't really much news going on.
Other than
the only thing that mattered in this past week, and that was the teaser trailer for Star Wars Rogue One came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the Star Wars side story that takes in between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, for all those huge Star Wars fans, you know, the fiction. In the first Star Wars movie, or sorry, the fourth, A New Hope, they say, "We've obtained plans to the Death Star."
Yeah.
But they never explain how they got those plans. Rogue One is how they got the plans. It's how they sent basically a squadron of X-Wing fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their captain, their ace pilot, she goes rogue. She's the only one, hence the title Rogue One. She dons the TIE fighter suit, which we see at the end of the trailer. And I think she looks so badass in that.
In that hallway?
Hallway. And then you're like, "You have the TIE fighter suit on?" And I'm like, fuck, that's man. Really cool. Interesting thing, Rogue One, the main character is another female lead.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Disney is embracing the whole diversity amongst cast.
Which is cool.
The other side of the coin is they kind of have to, because the other side stories are Han Solo
and Boba Fett.
So I'm just assuming they had to play their cards that way, so they don't look like a fully masculine dominated series.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's cool. We got Forrest Whitaker in it.
He just had a sword.
Yeah. And he's talking like Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
But the one that I think everybody's talking about is the Ip Man.
The Ip Man.
And the only reason I knew he was in this was because I actually didn't see the trailer until earlier today.
Yeah, early today.
But I knew he was in it because I have a lot of Asian friends.
What? No way.
I mean, it's hard to believe, right? I got a lot of Asian friends. A lot of Asian friends who don't give a shit about Star Wars. Suddenly, all my Asian friends give a shit about Star Wars.
Why is that, though?
I don't know.
Could it be because the Ip Man, Donnie Yen, is in the movie?
I don't know, man.
That's probably not it.
I don't know, but suddenly they're all talking about Star Wars. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So it was a bit weird to see like your Vietnamese and Chinese friends being like, Star Wars.
So Star Wars, huh?
And I'm just like, yeah, where were you? But...
What a man, it didn't have kung fu action in it.
I guess so. I only saw the trailer once. So did Donnie Yen have a lightsaber?
No, he had like pretty much like a bow staff.
Staff.
Yeah. Okay. He's just whipping around, smacking stormtroopers in the face.
He looks like some sort of captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think I do remember reading that he is a Jedi.
Oh, okay.
But
has the crystal not chosen him?
Maybe he hasn't found his crystal yet.
Maybe.
I don't know.
In this trailer, there's a lot of cool, like, just landscape shots. Like, when the one person is walking through the water. Like we said, the TIE fighter suit shot.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of cool, like, imagery
in this trailer. It looks really cool. And I like how we don't have a Jedi at the forefront of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted, like, the... like, in Gundam, for example. We always have a story about the lead hero who's usually like a new type.
Yeah.
But then like it's those side story ones that are the best, like 8th MS team. Or 08 MS team, whatever. Okay. And this looks like that. So it's I'm excited. I'm pumped. I can't wait.
Yeah. You're right when it comes to the side stories for like, oh, here's the person with all the special powers, but really you want like when I was reading Gundam the Origin, I really enjoyed Hayate. The little karate guy.
Yeah.
I liked his side story the most, more so than Amuro's main story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these side stories, like, they're still part of the greater whole, and they generally, because they don't have all the fun tools.
Exactly.
It generally makes them more interesting
They can't just be like, hey, I'm better than you.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I'm gonna look for a poster or some image. I want that as my wallpaper, that girl with the TIE fighter suit on.
Really cool. There's probably like a high-end image somewhere.
I want that as my desktop wallpaper now.
Oh, you're gonna get rid of the Gurren Lagann?
That was my hipster summer theme, and I never took it off when it came around, so I have to change it up. But yeah, looks cool. And that's it for our picks, I think.
Yeah, man, it's light.
Yeah, light week. But that's okay. We talked about some good stuff. Mm-hmm. Weeks. So I'm gonna talk about... I'm gonna start off on the anime I've been watching. This anime called Free. Free?
Why?
Free?
Why?
Free. It's the sports swimming anime.
I know it is. Why?
Do you know why it's called Free?
Is it because it's free swimming?
So that's what I thought. Like freestyle swimming, right?
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, yeah, it is. But that's not really the true meaning
behind it. Is it because free. The boys are free of their shirts?
No, but that would be pretty good. That you could say that. No, it's more about being... It's being one with the water.
Oh,
and losing yourself and being free of anything.
Oh my god.
It's a sports anime about swimming. And it's a fun one. It's really... how can I put it? Free is about... So, you like, in Petal, that was definitely about the competition.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
We were watching Pinter Stride, that was about the team aspect. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really about winning. Free is not necessarily about competitive swimming. It's about, like I just said... being one with the water, being free from competition, and just...
Dear God.
And, yeah, it's very, like, cliched like that, but it kind of, it works. Beautiful animation.
Mm-hmm.
And epic.
Beautiful shirt-taking off.
Yeah, animation. Epic shirt-taking off, putting on goggles, like, just unrivaled.
I wish I could put on goggles like that, one hand, like, yeah. Just snap it on my eyes.
Yeah. Story centers around a group of boys. All the boys... They all grew up together in a swimming club.
When they were younger?
When they were younger, and then one of them had to move away to Australia.
like you do.
Yeah, because he wanted to go to a... Because his dream is to become an Olympic swimmer, and so he went to Australia to train in middle school. And he comes back in the boys' final year of high school.
Okay.
And he's, like, totally changed. He's super badass.
Of course.
But this boy who left, he has a rivalry with our main character.
The boy who stayed.
The boy who stayed. But the boy who never likes to swim for competitive reasons, but he has infinite talent.
Of course he does.
Right?
He just does. Let me. Okay. Are there scenes where he is in maybe not a pool, but like a body of water, and he's just like, he's just floating, being one with the water?
You're close.
Okay.
In the winters, because they don't have an indoor pool and the ocean is too cold to swim in.
Yeah.
He kind of stays tucked up in his bathtub. And he looks like a loser. And he becomes one with the water.
Ew. No, he becomes one with your own filth. Who takes a bath?
He still keeps his swimsuit on.
Oh, okay.
He always keeps his swimsuit on.
Sure.
In case he's just ready to go swimming.
Is it like underwear?
It's like the spandex swimsuit.
Yeah, but like, but, okay. Does he use it as underwear, or does he wear underwear on top of his bathing suit?
He uses it as underwear.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, so Australia boy comes out back, and they have a
battle,
a swimming race.
Okay.
I won't tell you how that plays out, but it sets up the entire anime. Other cute things about the show, all the boys' names are traditional girls' names.
Oh.
So our main character is named Haruka.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whoa, that's just straight girl's name.
His best friend is Makoto? Oh, no, sorry.
Makoto can be switched.
Mako?
Mako, okay.
The younger dude is named... is it Nagisa?
Yeah,
Nagisa.
Oh, wow. They're just, man. They're hitting all the anime trope names.
And then the last boy is named Rei.
Oh.
Like R-E-I.
Yeah.
And then the boy who went to Australia, he's Rin.
Rei and Rin?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Of course, they make a swim club at their high school now.
Are they all in their final year?
Yes. But the guy who moved away to Australia, and when he came back, he didn't come back to their school. He went to another school who's known for swimming.
Oh, okay.
And so the whole point is they're going to meet up at, like, finals or something, okay, yeah. and battle it out there. But the team that we're following, their manager mm-hmm. is a girl, obviously.
Okay.
It's a girl. Her name is Go, like a boy's like Go. Yeah. So okay. that's the little.
Oh, okay.
You know.
How, okay, so I know this is like when this came out, it was all fans, like fan servicey kind of to the max.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls were losing their mind. Mm-hmm. How fan servicey is it in comparison to traditional fan service shows made for boys? Like are other boys just grabbing people's junk?
No.
Just being like, hey.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. It would be the equivalent if animes took place on the beach and you always saw girls in bikinis.
Oh, okay.
But like, there's no bulge bounce.
There's no bulge bounce?
Oh, no.
Unfortunate.
Like, there's no bounce in anything. But it's just a ton of muscles.
Well, yeah, you can't have bounce. You gotta be ripped.
And so the manager, she loves seeing this stuff, right? And like she goes gaga for it. But I can't tell if she thinks that they're actually pretty boys or if she just like has a severe fascination with muscles. Like specific muscle groups. Like she'd be like, those triceps, or like those deltoids. So many pectorals.
Oh, kind of like with the one guy in the running anime that you just mentioned.
Yeah, he's talking about
he's always talking about your calves, like these are good running calves. Like,
yeah, like she looks at it like that, but she also like has a slight sense of admiration, so I can never tell if she's like, because she never mentions like how pretty they are or they're so hot. She's just like a gathering of muscles.
That's okay. That's and, creepy.
Yeah. It's cool. I like it. I don't think I like it as much as like Petal. Just because I like Petal because it got into the nuances of the sport, mm-hmm. like the really technical stuff.
Oh, this doesn't do that?
No, it doesn't. Huh. This one's more about like, I don't want to say like the spiritual side to swimming, but like...
The spiritual side to swimming?
But it's the spiritual side to swimming. Okay. And like, in like, again, being one with water.
Okay.
And being free from
restraint. Feeling the currents and...
Pretty much. All like, right. They never go into like breathing techniques or like the proper breaststroke. Yeah, like they never do that.
That's unfortunate.
So... Yeah, it's not that type of sports anime, so yeah. Then I watched a movie.
Okay.
Called Ex Machina.
Heard of it?
Yeah, it came out last year. It takes place in the future.
Okay. But it's actually the past.
Basically, there's this... We'll just call it Google.
All right.
Okay? Google is pretty much taking over the world now. All right, like they've integrated themselves into everything. And their CEO lives in like this reclusive... research facility somewhere in some unknown area. Mm-hmm. One of his employees wins a competition to spend a week with him. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's presented. Mm-hmm. But when he gets there, he finds out he was specifically chosen to test the CEO's brand new AI interface.
Okay.
And when I say AI interface, I mean he built an Android.
Cool.
And it's a female Android. And that's the setup. I can't really say anything else without spoiling it.
Is there like romance in it or?
Well, so basically what he has to do is he uses this man
yeah.
as a test for his AI. And he basically wants to see if the AI has enough intelligence to convince the dude that it's a real human.
Oh, okay.
Right? All right. So that's the test. And it's super interesting.
That's cool.
Like, some questions that they ask, like, the writing is just on point. Like, the questions that they need to ask, the actions that they need to follow through with, it's fucking incredible. And it's a super, super simple story to follow. There's mm-hmm. only, like, three characters in the whole movie.
Oh, wow.
There's the boss, the boy, the android.
Okay.
And, I can see why it won so many awards, and I can understand why the actress, she was got so much acclaim, because she plays the android like, what's it called? Not Silicon Valley.
Oh,
I don't know why I was thinking that.
No, I know what you're thinking about. Oh, what's that word?
Yeah.
When a robot looks real, but it's not
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna Google it.
Yeah, anyways.
What's that
thing? Yeah. She's got that thing going on where she's very lifelike, but there's like
Uncanny Valley.
Okay,
there we go.
She's very lifelike, but the way she acts, like just her acting, like she understands just how to throw off certain body postures and body languages and speech patterns just enough so you're like, that's fucked up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, that's a real girl, like, who's playing this part? And you're like, this is weird.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, she clearly studied. She just looked at people for a long time and said, okay, I know what I need to do different.
Oh, you silly human. Song two into the part.
Yeah, so, but it's super fun. Or not fun. It's super, it gets your mind thinking. Mm. I put it up there with, like, Creed as, like, one of the better movies of the past year. Like, nice. I think it's, actually, I probably liked it better than Creed. So
this I'm probably gonna watch that because I've been reading, or it's on my to read list, this Image comic series. Mm-hmm. It's only three trades long. It's called Alex and Ada, and it's like in the future this guy is like super, like he's single for so long,
yeah,
and his grandma buys him an android that looks realistic to like pretty much be almost like a cat,
yeah,
right, just to be there. Mm. But he takes it to a place that gives the robot free will to think on its own.
Yeah.
And it like makes these questions of like, is it okay to fall in love with a robot?
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
So yeah, so Ex Machina goes into that and stuff.
Okay.
It is kind of creepy when you think like, man, you know, when you thought to Jurassic Park and someone told you it's plausible,
mm-hmm,
and you're like, what? Ex Machina has that same feeling where you're like, one day when AI does reach this level, you're like, that's possible?
No,
it's shit. But yeah, I totally recommend it. Definitely one of the best movies of the past year. And finally, I picked up my bike.
Nice.
I picked up my bike.
I rode it, or I sat on it.
You sat on it. You lifted it. You saw it. What color is it?
It's red.
It's certainly red.
It's so light.
It is light. It's.
I've actually never picked up a bike that light.
Yeah.
Like, I just picked, I was, ah, this is weird. Like, I just meant, I put force into it the first time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, no, it's paper.
Yeah. It's really light. It's really thin. And it's fast. It's great.
How fast are we talking?
We're talking pretty fast.
You racing cars?
Like on regular speed limits, yeah.
Like 50?
Like 50, 60, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. On my mountain bike that I was riding, my sprint could get me to 60.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So this one I can get to 70. KPH, not miles.
So many miles, Jesus.
No. And it's pretty quick. With a tailwind, it goes faster.
Oh, okay.
But what I will say about having one of these bikes is that it makes it makes it so much easier to just propel yourself forward if you have a light bike.
Like forward as in off the handlebars?
No, I mean like just pushing, like the transfer of energy from pedaling to pushing into that wheel.
Well, you also have those new shoes, right?
Like I do.
You got the clip shoes.
I do. But like, especially when you're going uphills.
Okay.
Like I'm used to, like when you're going uphills on a heavier bike, if you've, you can tell like you're not carrying your own body weight. You're also carrying the weight of the bike.
Are you fighting against the bike pretty much?
Yeah. On a light bike, that's not really the case.
Okay.
It's just like the only weight you have to worry about now is kind of your own.
Okay.
The bike kind of just feels like it wants to go up.
And just like, let me please.
And you're holding the bike back. That's what it feels like. And
sorry,
like,
bike.
Pet shit. It. Well, fuck. And then I got it with, yes, I got clipless pedals,
mm-hmm.
which are dumb, a dumb name, because what they actually do is they clip in.
Okay.
Yeah. The French are silly.
Did you get wireless gear shifting?
No, I couldn't afford that. Oh, okay. That's like $10,000, man.
Damn.
It's not really within the budget.
Okay.
But so I got clipless pedals, and those are cool because it means that when I'm pedaling, I can also pull up on the pedal as I'm pushing down.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me more of an even pedal stroke. My feet are always in the correct position to.
Would they say like you're using 50% less power for each foot because you're pulling up as well as pushing down?
I wouldn't say it's like that. I wouldn't say it's like that. It just means because you can never put up, at least from everything that I've done, you can't pull up with the same force you can push down.
Oh, okay.
Because pushing down, you got gravity with you.
Yeah.
Pulling up, you're working against it. So it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it really easier when you're, you know, going up hills or when you're going to hop out of the saddle and just start like slamming on the pedals.
Yeah.
So that's great. I did a lot of reading up and watching videos about how to clip in and stuff so that I wouldn't fall.
Mm-hmm.
And like the one thing that every article told me was that it's not a case of if you'll fall, it's when you'll fall.
Okay.
So just get accustomed to the fact that the first time you get clipless pedals, you're going to fall. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to fall.
Have you fell yet?
So I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't fall until today.
Okay.
Okay, so every time I clipped in and I would unclip, I'm like, oh, this is fine, this is easy, whatever. But I wasn't really feeling, I was kind of underwhelmed by the being clipped in because I'm like, I don't really feel the difference. So then I looked at my pedals and my pedals have a tension gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you can be super light, so it's easy to clip out. But then your foot doesn't really get sealed onto the pedal. It's kind of floating around.
Oh, okay.
So I just cranked it so that I would locked in. I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be really locked in.
Your foot just like go nowhere?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, this feels great because now I can feel myself really pulling up when I'm not, like, and I can feel a much more even pedal stroke. The thing is, it's harder to unclip out now.
Mm.
I mean, that was fine too, but today it was snowing or it was going to snow. And I was like, okay, I have like 30 minutes. So instead of doing like a long ride, I'll just do a really intense short one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just go really fast. So I did that and I got home and I was just exhausted and it was cold. I was like, I can't wait to take a shower. and then I got up to my driveway. You know how my driveway has that like step that goes up first before you get to the
door?
Screen door?
Yeah.
So I usually stop my bike just at that step.
Mm-hmm. You don't hop up it?
No, I don't. And then I would unclip there. So I unclipped, but because I was super tired, I kind of just wasn't paying attention. And even though I unclipped with my right and got my foot out, all my weight was on my left foot. So the bike started falling to the left.
You're like, no.
And it was the slowest fall in the world. And I was like, fuck, I can't save this one. So I just put my hand out and I was just there. And okay. I was just sitting there. And that's it.
You got stuck?
I got stuck. I was just like, well, now what?
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my day.
Okay, you got stuck in your driveway.
Yeah. And then I found out if I kick hard enough, it's like a ski binding, and it'll just release.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in the event of a crash, I'm not...
Oh, it doesn't just snap your ankles off your feet?
No.
Okay.
So I just kicked it really hard, and then I'm like, okay, I'm out.
So, what was I going to say? With those pedals,
mm-hmm.
can you still use regular shoes? Or is it significantly harder? Or should you never use regular shoes with those pedals?
Well, the pedals I bought, they're carbon fiber.
Okay.
So they're super strong. Doesn't matter if I how like I could use whatever shoes I want with them.
Okay.
The thing is, they're not flat.
Okay, yeah, I noticed that. They're like almost like a triangle or like a hill.
Yeah, and they're small compared to real, like, actual pedals. Okay. So it would just be really difficult to pedal on it with regular shoes.
Oh, okay.
But, like, if in an emergency, I suppose I could.
Like, if you were getting robbed and you're just like, oh, I need to get away, I don't get my clips. Like,
yeah, I could do it, but I wouldn't recommend it just because okay. It would be super inefficient and uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay.
Also, cycling shoes, you can't walk in those.
Does it have, like, a bar underneath or something? Or?
No, I'll show you. It's like, it looks like a cleat.
Okay.
But you know how, like, on football or soccer shoes, the cleat goes through the hole, or... They're not cleats, are they?
In
soccer?
Yeah, you can get cleats.
That's what they're called, the things on the bottom of your shoes?
Oh, they're not, like, they don't dig real hard or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, but like, you know how, like, they're throughout the whole sole?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so on mine... It's like a triangular piece with holes in it to clip into the pedal. Okay. But it's only at the ball of my foot.
Oh.
Right? Everything else on the bottom of my sole is just clean and like smooth and streamlined. Okay. So they're... And the thing with road bike shoes is you don't want any flex in your sole.
Okay.
Because then you lose power transfer.
Mm.
So...
They're stiff.
They're just stiff.
All
right. Like, so when you walk, you can't bend your foot.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Right? So it's super uncomfortable, but...
It feels like walking with snowboard boots.
Yeah, that's what it... Exactly. It's okay. It's like that, only you have, like, a thing on the front that's, like, a protrusion.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
That's kind of pain, but...
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I'm not going to be really walking with them.
We got to do triathlon.
Then you get pedals.
I guess.
You get regular pedals. You don't get those.
You swim in your cycling shoes.
Oh, that sucks. When you run.
You run in your cycling shoes.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, no. I recommend getting a road bike, everybody. Go do it.
Go do it. If you want a bike, just go for the hotness.
That's... You know what? If you're thinking about buying a bike, spend 3 times your budget. That's my advice. Don't think about the bike you're going to be riding tomorrow. Think about the bike you're going to be riding next year.
What if my budget's like $50?
$150 doesn't go a long way.
Okay.
So for you, I would say spend like 100 times worth.
Dang. Okay.
All right. Can you do that? $5,000?
I'll see how the finances work out. I'll check my offshore accounts.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, that was my week.
So in my weeks, I played some new games. Some one actually new and one just new to me. And then I watched a movie. So I'm gonna start with the games.
Yep.
So the first one I played is Shadow of Destiny.
Right.
It's a PlayStation 2 game. I bought it like a couple weeks ago, and I finally played it. I don't want to say it's like a horror game, but it's pretty tense.
Mm-hmm.
You are this guy named Eric, and you're in this small German town, and you just left a cafe, and walking through an alleyway, someone just stabs you and kills you.
Okay.
It's the opening of the game. And then you wake up in this weird room with like a clock and like a bunch of weird stuff. And who Eric assumes as Satan is talking to you. And Satan gives you this thing called the Digipad. And what the Digipad allows you to do is travel through time at the location you're at.
I see.
And so you can travel back, forward. And pretty much what you have to do is defy your fate. So your fate at that moment is to get stabbed in the back at 2:30. And so you have been given the chance to figure out ways to stop that.
Mm.
But once you do, another thing happens that pretty much your fate has been altered, and then you get killed at, like, say, 3 o'clock. You go back to the room, and Satan's like, so here's the trick. Because you changed your fate, it also changes the future. And if you die in, the future, you haven't changed your fate fully, right? You've only just adjusted its course a little bit.
Mm.
So you have to... keep adjusting your fate until you are free of being murdered, pretty much. And
so you're trying to butterfly effect it?
Kinda.
Okay.
And with this device, you can bring other people into different time zones with you. But if you just need to dip, like you just need to leave, you can actually leave them there.
Oh.
Right? So you can like leave them in the past, leave them in the future. And like time will correct itself, I guess. But as you as the user, you can't just like, I'm going to live here forever. Like it won't work like that because you're going to mess up time so hard that it'll just like blow shit up apparently.
These sounds like some really weird rules.
Yeah, they're very specific rules for the game to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so how the gameplay works is, so for example, the first thing I had to do was, so after I had stopped being stabbed in the alleyway, I got stabbed in a courtyard, right? And there was no one around in the courtyard. And so what happened, what I had to do was, I talked to this lady and she's like, man, like, you think I'm a street performer? Because she was dressed all weird. It's like, I'm not a street performer. Do you see a crowd gathered around me? And it kind of gives you a hint of, you need to gather a crowd in that square.
Yeah.
So that when the murderer comes, they're like, oh, look at all these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not messing with this.
Mm.
So you go, you have to go back half an hour and gather the people before the event starts in the future.
Okay.
Right? So say it's 2:30, right? I travel back to 2:00. As it becomes 2:01, in the future it becomes 2:31, right? And time's still flowing, but you're just in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you go back into the future, say you've spent 10 minutes in the past, you will go back 10 minutes into the present.
Okay.
Right? Because you always have to be in the present. You can't just go back into a stock time.
Yeah.
And it allows you to change events. Like one event, there was a bar on fire. Mm. And so you go back in time and figure out who set the bar fire and stop it. But the more extreme example I'm at right now is there is a person who is hiding behind a tree in said courtyard. And I have to figure out how to stop this person from hiding behind the tree and killing me. So you go back to the 1700s of this town where everyone is like knights and squires and people are still being like lynched in the town square and stuff.
Of course.
And you have to stop the botanist from that time from planting the tree in the first place. So that in the future, there is no tree for the murder to be
found.
And I've heard as the game goes on, each subsequent puzzle gets more and more obscure and more to do with time travel and switching between multiple time frames. But they throw in like little cool things. So like before you go back to the 1700s, you get lighter. And a bunch of people confront you, like, who are you? Why are you dressed so weird? Blah, blah, blah. And to get them away from you so you can do whatever, you just light the lighter.
Mm.
And they're like, oh my God, fire from their hands. He's a wizard. Like, get away from him. He's a demon or whatever, right? And so there's like a lot of silly things like that. The game's very, very B. It's like one of those like really campy B movies, B games. But mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. It's really cool.
Who makes this game?
I honestly couldn't. I don't remember.
I don't know the publisher.
Yeah. I can tell you afterwards, like mm-hmm. after the podcast, but.
Yeah.
I just don't remember it off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's really quirky, too.
You said it's PS2?
PlayStation 2.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Maybe it'll be on the PS2 on PS4
thing. Oh, sure. Keep dreaming.
Maybe, yeah. It's pretty obscure. If you heard that and you are interested in checking it out, it's not expensive. It is not a rare game. So if you go to like a used game store, you could probably pick it up for like $15. If you go no manual, like I wanted the manual like complete in box. Like if you just go case and disc, you can probably get it for $10.
Mm.
It's pretty cheap.
Okay.
The other game is brand new. It's called Enter the Gungeon.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. And so it just came out on Steam and PS4.
Yeah.
The first thing is, so I was going to play with my friends and I just assumed he was going to buy it on PC.
Yeah.
Right. So I bought it on Steam. And then he's like, man, I'm going to buy it on PS4. What are you doing? So I got to try out Steam's refund process.
Oh, that's nice. So they have a 24-hour?
So it's either, I believe it's a week or 2 weeks, or 2 hours of total play time.
Mm.
And if you pass either of those, you are ineligible to return the game.
Okay.
And they actually let you return it to your Visa, right? They don't just like, oh, you'll get store credit back.
Mm.
It's not like that. They actually let you return it your actual money if you
want.
That's
nice.
It's cool. It's a really streamlined process. I got my refund in like, I want to say like 30 minutes. So what you do is that you fill out a form. You give out like what game you bought, why you want to return it, and like a little blurb of more specifics.
Yeah.
And you send it to them and pretty much it can be whatever's on the list. I did notice that if they catch you abusing it, like you try out a game, it's a short game and you beat it in like an hour and then you return it and they see you doing that over and over again, they'll stop letting you have refunds. If you are banned from a game, so like say you are on Team Fortress 2 and that uses the VAC system for anti-cheating,
mm-hmm.
you can't return Team Fortress 2,
mm.
right? Because you got banned.
Mm.
That's your fault. And there's like a lot of little things, but they're all common sense rules. But this happened because in Australia, they have a law where if you are a retailer, you have to have a return policy.
Yep.
And because Steam is in Australia, so it just affected everybody. But it's a cool little thing.
It's good.
So I bought it on PS4, and it's... You ever play A Binding of Isaac?
Oh, that weird game.
Yeah.
No.
It plays a little bit like The Binding of Isaac. It's a top-down dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
And it's a dual-stick shooter, pretty much. And it takes its cues from, like, Japanese bullet hells or shumps. And you are this... You can be one of four or five characters. And in the past, like, a bullet came down from space and destroyed some evil castle. And it brought a bunch of bullet aliens. And deep down within the darkest depths of the bullet, of the gungeon. Of the gungeon.
Wow.
Is a gun that can kill the past.
Fuck.
So you as an adventurer want to find this gun to kill the past for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So you enter the dungeon. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really simple. It's dual stick shooter, like I said. Each character is a different class, and you just dodge enemies. So you have a dodge roll. During the dodge roll, you're invulnerable to bullets, so you can dodge through bullets.
Yeah.
And you have pretty much a bomb equivalent, which is a blank. So you shoot a blank, it clears all the bullets on the screen, and it stops enemies from shooting bullets for a specific period of time.
Right.
And then as you go through the floors, you'll find treasure chests with new guns, more powerful guns with limited ammo, even though your starters have infinite ammo.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find different health upgrades, like there's a whole bunch of different stuff. You just gotta explore the dungeon.
Okay.
And then you'll reach a boss room. You'll fight the boss, beat it, go to the next floor, continue.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun because bullet patterns start out really simple, but then get kind of tricky and more puzzly as you go on, as you get different enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have an Ammonomicon.
What?
Yeah. It's like the Necronomicon, where it's like, here's the bestiary of all demons?
Yeah.
It's the Ammonomicon.
Bullet types?
It's all the bullet types, wow. Pretty much.
That's
so
cool.
All of the enemies are like, so the starting enemy is just a bullet with a face, and he runs around with a gun.
Like a bullet bill?
No, it's like a bullet, like an actual bullet, like a 9mm bullet.
Okay.
He's a 9mm bullet, he's got arms and legs and a face.
This is fucked up,
man. And then he like hops around and he has a gun.
What?
And so he shoots you with the gun.
What's he shooting?
Bullets. The bullets in this game are like big energy spheres.
Okay.
But they're bullets. And when you kill enemies, they drop bullet casings, which are your money. The Ammonomicon has like bestiary explanations of all the enemies.
Okay.
Like there's a bat that carries a gun, and he's called the Batlet. It's like a bullet, but it's a bat.
Ah.
Yeah.
I get it.
There is one guy, he's a knight, and he carries a sword, and when he swings his sword, bullets come out. And to explain that, you go into the bestiary, and it's like, this knight's sword was forged from pure bullets. Like, it only used bullets to melt down and make the sword, so when he swipes, it shoots stuff. It's a really silly game. The really fun part is that it has co-op. So you can play local co-op or, I believe, online co-op. I haven't tried it yet. But that's what the trailer said, so it should be in there.
Okay.
And you can play with the friends, enter the gungeon together.
Two or four?
Two.
Okay.
Two. And it's just really fun. There's a lot of stuff to unlock. I just unlocked the shopkeeper, so you have, like, a hub, and then... In the hub, you can pick a different character, you can check out shops and stuff, and then you enter the gungeon.
Right.
But I just unlocked a shop that allows you for permanent upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I use this separate currency to permanently buy another heart, or to permanently have the option to bring an RPG as one of my weapons into the gungeon, instead of just relying on the chests that are within.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, you said it's like a rogue.
Yeah, it's a, people are saying not a rogue-like, but it's like a rogue-lite. Because roguelikes are just like, you die, everything's gone. But roguelites, kind of like rogue dungeon? The one that came out where you're a knight?
Rogue?
It's rogue something.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, you're like a knight, and then you every time you die, it's a different generation of your knighthood.
Rogue Legacy.
Rogue Legacy.
Yeah.
There you go. It's kind of like Rogue Legacy because you can have, you can invest in permanent upgrades.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To make you stronger the next time you go in.
Okay.
And I just love bullet hells. And it's just really fun. It has this weird RPG element, and
is it tough?
It's a bullet hell. The beginning levels are actually very approachable. It is the, it's not Japanese level bullet hells where it's just like, hey, level one, you're dead, right? But when you go later on into the dungeon, like fourth floor, gets pretty rough.
Okay.
Like they're just like, here's like a spell book that summons bullets, and it summons them in like weird patterns that follow you and track you and stuff. There are certain enemies that can be only hurt within certain states of their animation and stuff. But it's just a totally cute game. All of the pixel animations are really fluid and just like almost third strike levels of fluidity. It's kind of nuts.
Is it how much is it?
It's $14.99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So far, I recommend it. I think I'll be writing, because like school's open over for me, so I think I'm going to be writing a review of that to put on the site. But so far, I'm really enjoying it.
How would you compare it to something like Galaxy?
Galaxy is, I would say, is more of a roguelike, where it's just hardcore. The combat is a little different. If you thought there were a lot of bullets or a lot of obstacles within Galaxy, like get ready.
Okay.
But the thing is, in this game, you don't die in one hit. Each you start out with 3 hearts, and each heart is 2 bullets, so you have 6 hits.
Oh, you have a lot of life.
Yeah. But, man, you can go through those lives real fast.
Yeah.
So if I compare it to, Galaxy, it is a lot more forgiving than Galaxy.
Wait, have you played Galaxy's new update?
No.
Arcade mode?
What's arcade mode?
You just keep progressing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they heard. I'm like, man, this game's hard.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe if it's more like the arcade mode, I haven't played that yet. But it is, from the outside, it's a lot more forgiving. So you are going to make progress. And if, say, like, your skill isn't enough to make you win this battle, you could eventually find a gun that'll let you do stuff.
Oh, okay.
The cool thing is also they have, like, a lot of nods to other shumps. So, you ever heard of a game called Raiden?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the spaceship.
I played that. I had that on Xbox.
Yeah, so in Raiden, there's one gun that you have that shoots like a purple beam.
Yep.
And the beam itself isn't that strong initially, but it chains to other enemies. So, you just do dots, pretty much.
Yeah.
And one of the guns is the Raiden gun. And there's a lot of nods to like Japanese shoot 'em ups.
It's not a Japanese developer, though.
No. It is developed by an indie studio called Dodge Roll.
Wow. They really wanted Barrel Roll.
Yeah, they really wanted Barrel Roll. It's called Dodge Roll, and it's published by Devolver Digital.
Oh, Devolver. Okay, okay.
Yeah, so they're putting up all that indie stuff.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and so far I recommend it. Maybe watch some trailers. It's pretty popular on Twitch right now, if you want to watch people play it there.
Cool.
And there's not really any story to be spoiled on, right? Because you just die, restart.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I watched a movie called Perfect Blue.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Perfect Blue is an anime movie. I believe it's early to mid 90s, maybe.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's an older movie.
Okay.
It is by the director Satoshi Kon. He made Paprika, Tokyo Godfathers. He made an anime called Paranoia Agent.
Yeah.
And this movie follows in the footsteps of, oh man, what's her name? Did I just blank on her name? I think it's Mima. That's Mima. Did you just look it up?
Yep.
Okay. Mima. And she is an idol. She's part of an idol group. She's pretty much the head of her idol group. And she wants to transition into becoming an actress. She wants to leave the idol life behind and become a serious actress.
Poor girl.
Right. And a lot of the movie is her struggle with transitioning, leaving her past behind, like regrets and stuff. But also one of her fans thinks this is a bad career move.
Of course.
And so he starts stalking her and doing all this stuff. And then Mima also finds this website that she doesn't know who made it. It's called Mima's Room. And someone is just straight stalking her, like taking photos of her grocery shopping and then like typing out her day and writing it like it's her blog. And then it gets really weird. I don't know, the amount of like mind effery is kind of insane. And as you follow the movie, not only does Mima start to question what's real and what's not, mm-hmm. you as the viewer are questioning what's real and what's not.
Yeah, it's a mind fuck.
It's a mind fuck, this movie. there is one scene that's kind of rough to watch.
Okay.
It's like a rape scene.
Oh, okay.
But other, like, man, this, yeah. It's hard to talk about this movie because I just can't say anything else.
Yeah.
But this movie goes places, and I've had conversation. I watched it on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
right? And I've been talking about it with people all weekend.
Oh, wow.
So the movie really leaves a lot to be discussed,
mm-hmm.
and just like there's a lot of theories. I've been looking up theories of people who've watched it and stuff. And
yeah,
it's almost, it reminds me a lot of Inception when it first came out, and everyone was like, did it wobble? But what about this? Like, is this a dream? Like, whatever, right? It's just a really good movie. Highly recommended. It's a seinen, so it's not for kids, but it's highly recommended.
Yeah, I remember this got a lot of chatter. In anime circles.
Oh, okay.
Every time, because when I look up or when I ask people, you know, what are the like, classic things you should watch, this sometimes comes up.
Okay.
Not as a, this is like magnificent, but you should probably watch this.
Yeah, there's Satoshi Kon is like the anime hipster dude.
When you said Paprika, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And like Paprika is known, at least in the movie sphere, for being the influence for Inception.
Mm.
Because that also plays with dream sequences. Like Paprika is the original movie that Christopher Nolan was like, oh, sick. Dream sequences are cool.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just looked up his filmography and now I'm reading. I'm like, Tokyo Godfathers. I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right.
Three homeless people find a baby.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I know who this guy is now. That's right.
He has a really good manga called Opus. I believe Dark Horse. Some like not. It wasn't Shonen Jump. It wasn't Viz. Brought it out here.
Mm.
And it's a one-off book. And it's about this mangaka who's trying to end his manga, but he wants to kill off his main character. But his main character within the manga becomes sentient of the fact that the creator is going to kill him off.
That's fucked up.
And is like, no, you can't draw me if you're in the manga with me. And like pulls him through.
Yeah.
But because he's the god of that universe, yeah. he has like powers that no one, like he can just draw things
yeah.
and bring it into existence. Later on, he can like leave and go forward. And it's also a mindfuck. But it's a really cool read.
Yeah.
If you want like a kind of a light way to get into his stuff.
Yeah, you're right. It was by Dark Horse, yep.
Yeah. I really like his stuff. It's really good.
Cool.
And yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah.
And that's been my week, man.
Neat. So that's the end of a regular show.
Yeah.
Now we move on to the big stuff.
Oh, Vince des. How are you?
Oh shit.
Sugoi des.
Like we hinted at last week, we're going to be doing an anime club. But to do this anime club, we need to find an anime to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's so much anime there's in so the much world.
Good anime.
We thought we'd restrict ourselves to a couple rules. So first of all, it's going to be something that neither of us have watched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be something new. Something currently airing in the spring season. So that everyone can follow along. And so that it's not out there so that we can just look up spoilers.
Also that Vince doesn't have to watch JoJo Part 4.
Yeah!
God damn it.
Yeah! I made all these rules. So
you did make all these rules.
I made all these rules, so that's why we do them. Last week, we talked about a couple.
I think the only one that made it on the list was
My Hero.
Boku no Hero Academy.
Yep, My Hero Academia. If you want to watch that, that's on Funimation. So check that out.
Is it on Crunchyroll?
No, it's just on Funimation.
Okay.
Just fun. That's Funimation's star for the season.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're parading around. This week we got a whole host of anime we watched.
Yeah, we watched the rest.
We didn't watch everything, but we had an amount of selections. Yeah,
the other thing is like we didn't just go to any chart and be like, all of this, let's watch it all.
No.
We're like, no, we picked what we were interested in and then put it into a list.
Our decisions came from past studios that we enjoy.
Mm. Synopses that looked ridiculous.
And just track records between I guess directors or whatnot.
Mm.
And for other things, it was just on, and we just couldn't help ourselves.
True. True.
So we're going to start off with the trigger duel, the dual trigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start, because Trigger, as you guys know, have done Kill la Kill, which we love.
It's really good.
That show's really good. We love Kill la Kill. Trigger is also the main creative team behind Gurren Lagann, which is my favorite anime.
Some would say it would be the best anime.
I would have to agree with those some. And anyways, they have, I can't believe this, they have two anime out this season.
Which is cool.
Yeah. One's a short and one's their full-on project.
Yeah.
So we'll start with their short, and it's called Luluko Space Patrol.
Fuck
this. This is a 7-minute anime.
But so much happens in 7 minutes.
It's pretty great.
I liked your explanation of it.
Yeah?
If you guys remember Kill la Kill.
Yeah.
If there was a whole show dedicated to Mako,
yeah,
this is that show.
Yeah.
And that like perfectly sums up that show.
Yeah. And so if you like Mako's like little hyperactive moments or her sketchy, kind of like rough drawn animation style, that's what this is.
Yeah.
And it's hyperactive and it's got this cool flair that goes on about it. I loved the high energy, especially between her and her dad.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah. Hi, Luluko. Hi, Dad.
And they just high five
for breakfast.
Set it up, I guess.
Yeah. It's basically a girl, and she essentially lives in some sort of alien-infested space town.
It's like a specific prefecture in Japan allows aliens to live there.
So basically, you know how in every anime you watch, it's always about ordinary teenage boy or girl. And then suddenly something happens and they become special.
Yeah.
This is the reverse.
Yeah.
Everything else is special and she just wants to be ordinary.
She's like, no, I don't want to be special at all.
Yeah. And that sounds kind of boring. That's like, oh, you flipped it. Huh? How original. But they play it off really well. And it all just seems to work because everything is just so out there that it clicks.
Yo, the space sheriff.
The space sheriff is something else, man. That dude arrests you, no arrest, and he just has the Gurren Lagann glasses on the whole time.
Yeah, he has the Gurren Lagann glasses on the whole time, and he's a flaming skeleton.
Yeah, he's on fire
with a leather jacket.
Yeah, I want to believe that's Kamina's soul.
Yeah, he's just arresting people.
Yeah, in some other galaxy. And then Luluko somehow ends up having to work for the Space Patrol.
Mm-hmm. And her dad ate a space pill.
Yeah.
That froze his whole body.
So she brings him
to the place, and she's like, well, unfreeze him is going to cost a lot of money, Home Slice, and your dad can't take out any more advance payments, so you work for us.
Yeah. And she's like, but I don't. Okay. And then she becomes like this space patrol cop with like this weird magical girl animation.
Who turns into a gun!
Yeah.
Megatron style!
Yeah.
Just turns into a gun.
Yeah, she does, and it's amazing. And that's the end of episode one. But apparently that's only half of the story because this has been heavily marketed with like an alien space boy, like a pretty space boy.
Yeah, and he's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and he's nowhere to be seen. So it looks pretty good.
My favorite thing about this show is their liberal word of the use, or their liberal use of the word space.
Oh, yeah.
So like they caught someone cheating on a test in class and he's like, oh no, they caught me space cheating. Oh no, it's the space cops. Like.
Yeah, I haven't heard space this much since Kamen Rider Forze.
I don't know what's going on, but it's time for space!
Yeah, so that's fun stuff. Next up, we watched Kiznaiver, Trigger's, we'll say, real anime project for the season.
I'm going to say it right now, even before we get into it, I think the show's on the list.
I think the show's on the list too.
Yeah, the show's on the list.
I think this is the like one of them on the list. Kiznaiver is basically there's a boy who feels no pain.
Yeah.
And
you get some weird backstory. Someone's talking to him and his hair turns white.
Exactly. You find out that he lives on this secluded little town that was originally this experiment. Series of events occur and he gets connected with is it five other people?
One, two, three, four. Yeah, five other people.
Five other people. And they all share pain.
Mm-hmm.
So if one gets hurt, they all get hurt.
Pain, injury.
Yeah.
Like if you got cut, like they get cut, but then you get cut less because you split it.
So they all get connected through that sort of pain. And it gets... like, when I think about it, that's all that's happened in this episode.
Yeah.
And if I just say that, it's hard to sell someone on that premise. But the way they go about it and the characters that they introduce, like, this, if you really loved, like, this show more than Space Patrol really shows that, oh, this was a Guy Next thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Trigger show. Like, if you like everything about those that studio's style and how they deliver characters and how they...
Even just style of characters.
Yeah. Oh, and but what they've done is they don't have, like, that dirty animation from, like, Gurren Lagann or Kill la Kill. They've gone for something a bit cleaner. Yeah. But it still retains the wild animation fluidity.
Yeah, just not as extreme. Like, when someone goes to punch someone, his arm doesn't stretch to the size of a football field.
Yeah.
Right? But it's still, like, here's this, like, oh, I'm winding up. So here it's, like, extended, exaggerated. Like.
Yeah. It's got catchy tunes. It's, I like the color choice, like, the color palette. Like, it's really high contrast.
Super vibrant.
I fucking love the chick with the blue hair.
She's okay.
Oh, dude, she's the new Satsuki.
No, she's not.
She's totally the new Satsuki.
She's way meaner than Satsuki.
You're right. That makes her even better.
Oh my god.
There's a moment, and you guys will know if you watch it, where she just does something super cruel.
Yeah.
And then she lies about it. And it's just amazing.
Man, what a bee.
She's the best. She's awesome. So that's Keith Niver.
My favorite character is the muscle head, the guy in the yellow t-shirt.
Oh, really?
With the, like, the almost pompadour.
Yeah, yeah.
He's cool.
He seems pretty interesting. I think there's that one airhead chick.
Oh, the one who wants to summon fairies all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's weird. She looks like, she reminds me of, like, Kiati Pamyu.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that pop star?
Yeah, I remember that.
She kind of reminds me of her.
So she plays, like, each one of the characters are definitely a stereotype,
mm-hmm.
although they're described as one of the seven deadly sins, which aren't really the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, because she thinks, like, the seven deadly, so was it, Satsuki thinks the seven deadly sins of the past are now outdated.
Yeah.
And nobody does that anymore. So there are new seven deadly sins for the modern age, and these people embody those deadly sins.
Yes.
Oh, wait, so I guess there's six other people.
Yeah, there's one that we didn't see. I think in the intro it shows he's got, like, I think he has either red or purple hair, and he's got a...
Oh, yeah, he didn't show up in the thing.
Yeah, he's a couple piercings somewhere.
Okay.
I think he's in, like,
on his jawline? Like, you were just, like, touching your jaw.
I don't know if he had, like, a lip piercing, an ear piercing, or an eyebrow piercing.
I've always wanted one of those, like, lip to ear, or, like, nose to ear, and then a chain between.
Okay, man. Whatever. You're not 16 anymore.
I can. I know.
Yeah, so that's Keith Niver, definitely on the list. And then we watched...
Which one are you going for? Which one are you going for?
We watched the next... Because Anthony really wanted to watch this one.
Yeah, don't pass this off on me.
No, listen. We were going through the Crunchyroll, and it's like, this one we need to watch.
We need to know what it is.
Watch Pan de Peace.
Bread Peace.
3 minutes. It's a 3-minute short. It's about... standard high school girl, first day of high school, and she just wants to make friends, but she also secretly loves bread.
She loves bread.
And I don't mean, like, oh yeah, white bread, I got that white bread, I got, you know, croissant. No, I mean, like, she loves bread. And so much. But what's crazy is that there's another girl in this school who loves bread just as much as her,
and she has keychains on her backpack with different types of bread.
Yeah, and so our main girl notices and be like, can we be bread buddies? And it's like, boom.
No, they actually say that, though. They actually say, can we be bread buddies?
Yes. And they become bread buddies.
And that's the whole episode, because it's 3 minutes.
Yeah, and that's it.
And then there's another tsundere girl with a baguette.
This is a weapon.
The show's great.
I don't know.
It's on the list.
Oh, I don't know.
The show's on the list. It's 3 minutes.
I don't know. I don't know about this one.
If I have to pick a short, I think Luluko is on the list. But, yo, Pan de Peace is so close. I think I'm going to be watching this on my off time. But
I hope you do, and I hope you tell us about it.
I'm going to report back every couple weeks.
Shit, Pan de Peace. So, yeah, that was that.
Bread Buddies.
Like, it's 3 minutes with the intro and outro, so...
With the intro and outro.
So...
But it was in the middle of the episode, and then the end credits came on, and we're like, what? That's it?
Yeah.
She was great.
And then there's the other anime about a group of girls who have a fascination. This time it's with motorcycles. This one's called Bakuan.
With 3 exclamation points.
Yeah. Kind of has this K-On! Sort of vibe to it.
Yeah, I wasn't digging that show.
It was got this K-On! Vibe to it. Like, there's parts of it that I didn't like. And then there's other parts where I was just like, you know what? I actually do, like, it's genuinely funny. And it's not, and it's not funny because, like, sexual girl jokes. I just found, like, well, they actually have, like,
some of that is in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, don't say, it's not barren of that kind of humor.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not the funniest part of that.
Yeah, show. Like, this show actually has, like, legit funny stuff going on with it. There's this one girl. She drives a Suzuki.
Yeah.
Her tits are huge.
Yeah, so that's the one. That so, like, this show is the full 20 minute, like a full length episode.
Yeah,
half of that show might as well just been camera zoom on her, on the Suzuki logo first which is on her boobs.
Yeah,
and it's just like, guys, chillax.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but, like, I found it super distracting from the actual comedy in the show. Yeah,
because it's the show's actually funny.
Yeah.
When it's not reliant on check out my tits.
Yeah, what I will say is, the people, like, aside from the girls, this team is really into motorcycles.
They know motorcycles.
Like, it is initial D levels of, we will, like, fuck the girl porn.
Yeah.
Or, you can have the girl porn, but it's not coming without the bike porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to say, so we go back to sports anime when you're talking about Free.
Yeah.
Sports anime gets in, like, so say I'm talking about iShield 21.
Yeah.
iShield 21 is all about football. If you know nothing about football and you read iShield 21, by the end of that series, you will know pretty much everything you need to know about the rules of football.
Okay.
Going into this, I knew barely anything about motorcycles.
Yeah.
And the process of getting a motorcycle.
Yeah.
By the end of that episode, I learned legitimate information about motorcycles and about what you have to do to gain a motorcycle license, at least in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah. It is, and I love how they go into that nitty-gritty stuff. So, like, I'm on the fence on this one. This
like, is probably, half-clutching.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, so, like, I don't think this will be on the list, but this is something I'll probably watch on my own just because it's genuinely funny, and that side of just being that deep into the motorbiking scene, it's, I don't know, I was just really impressed by that.
Yeah, like, their halfway episode break is one of the characters, and then behind it is just a real picture of a bike.
Yeah, so that's a crazy thing. They have real licensed motorcycle vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And they even have the ability to make fun of certain motorcycles that aren't good looking.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Suzuki girl, she loves Suzukis no matter what. She is a Suzuki fangirl. Yeah. And even though they show certain bikes that are, by design standards, ugly, she loves them. But the thing is that the show actually makes fun of those bikes, which I didn't think would ever happen.
So I think it's crazier because Suzukis are Japanese. And I that's crazy because you wouldn't expect the Japanese to make fun of something of their own, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they really seem to nail the biking culture. And as a little bit of an extra note, I actually watched the OVA that was released prior to this.
Okay.
And it seems like the show is not so much about, like, racing or anything, but it's just the joy of joyriding.
Okay.
And, like, riding around with your friends. And I super get that.
That's a lot more approachable.
Yeah.
Not approachable, but, like, people can understand that better than, I'm on a race bike.
Yeah, right? And, like, even if you don't have a motorcycle, but you like to, like, drive your car or something. Yeah. I remember when I first got my license, something I do with my friends a lot was we would just drive around at night just to drive.
I really like driving.
Yeah, and from the OVA I watched, that's the type of things they're trying to do. And I'm like, I can get behind this. It's probably not going to be perfect, but I was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's on the list.
No, if this show had less fan service, it might be a contender.
Yeah.
Just because it's actually funny. It's just that fan service really threw me off.
Yeah. We should say this show has one amazing thing going for it.
Which is
they have the Stig.
They do have the Stig. If you have watched Top Gear, the Stig is in this show.
Yeah.
A female Stig with pigtails.
And in a Japanese school uniform, but she's got the right all-white Simpson helmet. She doesn't say anything, and she's just got the most amazing bike.
Was it a Kawasaki Ninja?
Yeah.
And also, the thing is with her is that they have really great physical gags.
Yeah.
So there is like a easy example is when the Suzuki girl was like trying to find people to agree with her that Suzukis are the best.
Yeah.
She looks at the stick and she's like, no, she just looks away. And there's like a certain like flash of her helmet. And like they can do really funny, simple physical gags with her.
Yeah. So that's,
man, so disappointed.
Yeah.
The show could, it's just funny on its own.
There's just one point in the OVA where they're, all the girls are stranded.
Okay.
And the stick girl is somewhere else, and she has to come and save them, and she has to bring like a spare tire and stuff.
Okay.
And so she comes in, and she comes out of the side of a corner, and like she's fully leaned over on her bike, like in the racing position.
Okay.
But then it zooms in closer, and only one hand is on the thing, cause her her left hand is up, and she's got the peace symbol going on beside her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But
yeah, it's not on the list.
No, sorry, Bakuan. Next up was Anthony's pick.
Sakamoto desu ka?
Yes, this was Anthony's pick.
Or the translation is, don't you know, I'm Sakamoto.
Yes.
What is this show?
I don't know. So what this show seems to me is, it should have been short, like a short. But it's a collection of shorts that they just jammed into 20 minutes.
I'm glad it's not a short.
But it is a short. There's like they do 7-minute skits, and then they skip to something else. Nope. Another
7 minutes. Yeah. So this show is about Sakamoto-kun. He is the new high school student, and he is the coolest high school student. Everywhere he walks, he's got a swagger going on. He's always sparkling. He's got those smart dude glasses. He does that stupid pose where it's like you put your middle finger in the middle of the glasses.
Yeah.
You push him up. And everyone loves him, except for certain people who are jealous of him. So all the girls love him. All the regular boys love him because he's just cool. But it's like punks and other models. And it's a gag show.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous is what it is. Holy shit, this show.
And they show like, I don't want to explain jokes.
Yeah. Basically, they take very, like, ridiculous situations.
Yeah.
They put this character in those situations and what you're doing is you're just trying to think about how is he going to play this off to be super cool. And it's always 10 times better than you think.
Okay, the easiest one you can explain without it being lame is, so in Japan, like, you can play because in schools you have a sliding door.
Yeah.
So you can play this joke on people where you leave the slide, you put an eraser at the top of the sliding door. A blackboard eraser.
Yeah.
And you close it, and so the blackboard eraser is stuck. And when you open the door, the chalkboard eraser falls on your head.
Yeah, and you get all powdery.
Yeah, it's like, oh no. And so that's the opening gag of this show. He opens the door, and it's slowly falling. It's like, yes, we got him. And he just like reaches behind him and stretches and grabs it and then sparkles.
Yeah, he does like a Calvin Klein pose. And you're just like, what?
And each subsequent gag gets more ridiculous than the rest. And some gags are just to like, no way he's going to solve this problem like that. Right? There's got to be a different way. And it's like, no, it's exactly the way he's going to solve that problem.
Yeah.
But not in the way you initially thought it was going to play out.
Yeah.
And I feel the show does a really good job with like keeping you guessing on these gags.
Yeah. Now that seems pretty tame. The show, like, they definitely go for it. Yeah. They go out there with some of these gags. It's just like, yeah, you could take real world scenarios and you know, gag them up, but no, they go and they do go an anime. For it. Yeah. So it's,
one of the gags, I laughed so hard that I teared up.
Wow.
I was on your couch and I was at, like, I had tears. I was like, it was so funny. The one where they threw his desk out the window. They threw his desk, and he's like,
and all the girls are like, you can share my seat with me.
So I'll sit with me, sit with me. He's like, no, I'll just sit over here. And he opens up the window, sits on the windowsill, like, also like a model, and the wind blows in his hair, and he's like, I'll be fine right here.
Yeah.
Teacher, you can start the class. He goes needle to needle with a beat.
Yeah. So, like, this show was great for, like, the first episode, but where does it go from here?
I feel like you have to like this type of show. Like, it always sucks to be, like, fans of the genre, right? But, like, this show goes for it so hard that I don't see how, if you don't like gag stuff, like how what you're gonna get out of this. It's strict gags. It doesn't show, like, there is a little bit of a through line of story with certain characters.
Maybe.
Because they like convert over to liking him pretty much.
Yeah.
Like it's not that they convert to liking him, it's that they just have to submit to how cool he is. I don't know, but yeah, like, if you don't like gags, like, this isn't for you. But I love gags. And I'm gonna be watching this show every week.
Yeah, like, I think this show is funny, but I don't know if it's something I'm gonna stick with.
Oh my god, this show's awesome. As much as I want it on the list,
it's not
happening. Let it be known that this show would be number one on the list for me.
Oh my
god. It is not on the list.
Oh my god. The last one we watched was my pick, and it was Kanabari of the Iron Forest. Ooh. This is by Wit Studio.
The Attack on Titan people?
The Attack on Titan people, and it's sort of kind of like Attack on Titan.
A little bit.
Only no Titans, it's more like a zombie type deal?
Yeah, it's a zombie type deal.
And it takes place in sort of feudal Japan / steampunk era. Steampunk
feudal Japan.
God, this anime looks cool.
It looks really nice.
It looks
incredible. Their animation budget is unlimited.
Yeah.
Every you know the complaints that we had about, like, oh, people skimping out on certain animations for, like, little things? Nope. This show just goes for it.
Yeah, this, like, when we talked about, like, old anime, like Cowboy Bebop, and, like, oh, man, that show always looks like it's super detailed.
Exactly.
And we're like, how come anime today doesn't look like that? Well, nah, this
one hurt us.
Yeah. And they're like, it's not that we can't do it, it's just we don't do it.
And it's expensive.
Yeah, but this one does it. And the other thing, too, is they picked a really, really cool art style, where the characters look like they're like, it's like retro chic.
Yeah.
They look like they're from the 80s at some point.
They're retro chic in close-ups.
Yes.
So, like, there's, if you remember, like, I don't know, like, people who like JoJo, old JoJo, or maybe, like, Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of old stuff. When they have close-ups on faces, it's a lot of, like, rough edges, and it looks almost realistic, but it's still anime.
Yeah. Like, they have the smaller, like, you could tell with the girls, because they have smaller, more realistically proportioned eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it looks more classic on close-ups, and that detail is so cool.
Yeah.
But that, like, when it pulls back and it shows more of a crowd shot, it's still high quality, but just regular anime.
Yeah. And, so the story centered around some, our mechanic man, who's trying to create a steam gun
that can pierce the hearts of these zombies, pretty much.
Because apparently, once your heart gets taken over, you become a zombie. And it's like, the infection is spread through physical contact, so like when you get bitten.
And then, but the cool thing about this infection is, like, you can see it
happening.
Yeah, so, like, you get bit somewhere, and, like, your skin starts turning, like, a dark purple.
Yeah.
But you see it spread throughout your body.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
I like the thing that where they let people choose to take their own lives.
Oh yeah.
When they get bitten, so they have
suicide
this, like,
bag.
It's like it's like a suicide airbag, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you put it against your heart because that's where it will
infect.
And once you pull the trigger, it just blows out your heart,
which is rough.
Yeah. It's very violent. Lots of blood. Lots of gore.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the mixing of, like, samurai plus
steampunk
is super cool.
Yeah.
And the one character, she's like this, she's introduced as, like, this child who has, like, this ball and cup toy.
Yeah.
And she's just amazing at it. But then once she has to go into battle, she's
trying to be a badass.
It's like, whoa, hello.
Yeah, her sandals have blades on them.
And, but she, of course, she's still a child, so she makes rookie mistakes. Yeah, and like,
getting your foot caught in a shrine thing.
But still, I didn't expect that. I was like, wow. But this one's really cool, too.
The show is really cool.
It's quite something else.
But does it go on the list?
I don't know. I don't know if it goes on the list. Because I know which one I would want to choose. I don't know, man. Where do we go? So what's on the list? We have My Hero.
So My Hero.
Yeah.
Keys and Ivor. I think if we pick a short, it's Space Patrol.
Oh, you don't want the Bread Buddies.
Listen. I want the Bread Buddies. But I know the Bread Buddies won't fly.
No, they won't.
So yeah, I think it's Boku no Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Keys and Ivor.
Yeah.
If we have a short, it's Luluko.
Yeah.
And I think we can fit this on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
But we just have to choose which one now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are we picking one regular and one short? Are we picking, are we just going to do all of them that are on the list and we talk about one episode each week?
Oh, I don't know if I want to do all of them because that's a lot.
Okay. So let's, okay, take out Luluko because that's a short. That's the only short on the list.
Yeah, okay.
So Boku no Hero Academy, mm-hmm. Kizan Iver, Steampunk Japan.
Yeah, Iron Forest, Kanabari.
I think Kanabari is, like, so Kizan Iver is our serious show,
mm-hmm.
right? And Kanabari, I think, completely competes in this situation with Kizan Iver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kizan Iver wins if it's just out of those two.
Yeah.
Boku no Hero Academy is more lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to have, like, kind of just, like, a difference, like, we're not just talking about dark shows all the time, I think we should have two different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can do Luluko because it's a short.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. So you want to... Okay, if we do two, I don't want to do a short then.
You don't want to do a short?
If we pick two, then I don't want to do a short.
Because at some point, it just becomes the Trigger show. Yeah. Welcome to the Trigger cast.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Yeah. As much as I would love that. Okay, this one's... Because either way, I know I'm going to watch Kizan Iver and Kanabari, regardless.
I'm going to watch Kizan Iver regardless.
Okay.
But I don't think all... I'd probably watch a couple episodes of Boku Iron Fortress, but I think I'd drop off.
Okay.
Like, for me, right now, Boku no Hero Academy is the one I'm most interested in as a full show.
Of all the things we watch, is that the one you like the most?
That is the one I like the most. Okay. Well, Sakamoto is the one I like the most.
Oh, right. That's
the one I like the most. Sakamoto is the one I like the most.
Okay.
But, Boku no Hero is second, and Kizan Iver's third.
Okay. Okay, I got it. We'll do one each. So I will pick Kizan Iver, and you can pick...
Boku. Okay.
And we can just do those two.
Yeah.
We'll cut out
Luluko and Iron Fortress.
Yeah. And that'll be our club.
Okay.
Okay?
That's fair.
Maybe we'll do like a half-hour show, 15 minutes a pop.
Yep.
Back-to-back it.
If we're doing one episode a week, it'll probably be less than that.
But. Probably. I don't. We'll probably discuss the details of it after, but there you go. We have decided we are watching...
Kizan Iver.
Kizan Iver and Bokuwa...
Boku no Hero Academy.
Oh, Boku no Hero Academy. For the TNAB Anime Club. Now, we are going to put these up as a separate...
It'll still be on the TNIB channel.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're listening to it on YouTube now, it'll still be the same channel.
Yeah.
It'll just be a separate video.
Mm. Here's a real question. Mm-hmm. When we get to these, which anime do we talk about first?
We can just alternate.
Nope.
What? Why not? Give each his fair shake.
Nope. I don't think so. Are we going to do this alphabetical or the better choice?
Alphabetical or the better choice? Why? You want to do Kizan Iver first?
No.
Boku no Hero, if we do it alphabetical, that's the choice you want then. Because B comes before K.
I know. I'm aware.
Vince,
I'm aware.
Have you had coffee today?
No.
Okay.
I think
if we do, like, Kizan Iver is the more, I think, plot-focused one.
Yeah, I think,
probably. Saving that for last makes more sense.
I think Kizan Iver is the one that I think we can be positive will have an ending.
Yeah.
Because Boku, that's in Shonen Jump right now, right?
I believe so, yes.
So we don't know how long it's going to go for.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there we have it. We've decided, just like that, democracy. I think. Yeah, sure. Poor Sakamoto. You didn't stand a chance.
Man, that show's great.
Yep. Poor Bread Bunnies, you didn't stand a chance.
Whatever, man, that show's 3 minutes. We could fit it in. Talk 30 seconds about each episode.
Luluko, I love you, but we just don't have the time.
The thing is, though? We're going to talk about these shows in our regular weeks anyways.
We are. But let's keep the anime club focused. So that's your homework, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to participate in the TNIB Anime Club, we'll be talking about My Hero Academia and Kizan Iver next week. Make sure to watch up to episode 2.
I think Boku no will be on 3 by that point, because it's 2 now, right?
Yes.
So by next Sunday, it'll be 3?
So the first three of...
So first three of Boku no...
And the first two of Keys and Ivor?
The first two of Keys and Ivor.
Shit, okay. And we'll probably put that up as a separate video.
Or do you want to just... Do you want to be a week behind on Boku no?
Should we?
It's less watching for the audience to do, like, up front.
Like two and two?
Yeah. Like, here's episode two, here's episode two, here's episode three, here's episode three. But then we're not relevant for Boku no, because it's not the current.
That's okay. It was the less important one anyway.
Get out of here. Go away.
Maybe we should just be a week behind, so it's easy.
Okay.
Just easy to remember.
All right, that's fine.
Because Boku, that comes out on Sundays, the days we record.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that might be tough to do.
So I'll watch two for this week, or for next week, sorry.
Yeah.
And then two of Keys and Ivor.
Yeah, I think Keys and Ivor is a Friday or Saturday show, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be up by then. Yeah, so guys, look forward to it.
Those are good shows, man.
Yeah.
At least what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
We've seen Game Clubs just take a nosedive before, so.
We have?
Yeah, with Shadow of the Colossus.
We have.
I love that game. That game's great.
It had its moments.
He's awesome.
It had its moments.
Aggro.
Oh, fuck, man.
Aggro.
I'm so glad that thing died.
No, aggro.
Fucking stupid horse.
I was going to do Aiko. That game sucks.
Yeah.
Aiko's garbage.
Yeah. Okay. That's it for us then. We are out of here. See you guys next week.
Bread peace.